Okay, welcome, welcome everyone.
Welcome to the new year officially, for real, right? This is the season of initiation and awakening, whatever we've been dreaming about and conceiving since winter solstice. So we're starting to think about the seeds we want to plant. And whenever I talk about planting seeds, I'm always going to remind you to have extras. We want to scatter as many seeds as possible because you never know which ones are going to take, especially around your creative babies. So have a backup to the backup. Have things, some of your creative projects where you can grow legs out of them. That's what I say. I love spider. And when the light changes, you might be able to see how many spiders are actually over there. And oh my God, y'all, as soon as the altar was done and I just sat back to look at it, by the time I looked at it, the spiders had already built webs all the way around it. I love my spiders and they love me. And we have everybody over there. So we've got all the directions and all the ancestors. Everyone's here to welcome the spring and bring in the new. And there's a little globe for the world down there that I do my world work for. But every turn of the wheel, we set up a new one, and whoever wants to be here comes on out. So I hope you're thinking about the seeds you want to plant or the creative babies you want to have. And at the same time, it's just the beginning. It's the sprout part, right? It's still really delicate and fragile. Things aren't really strong or rooted yet. So I want you to hold on to that because we are also going to, as we go through spraying, there's going to be two things we have to think about no matter what else we're trying to do or begin or initiate. And that is Mercury retrograde through Aries is a big one. So we know that this spring is kind of a hurry up and wait, take two steps forward, three steps back. It might be that way for some people. Other people who might be in under a different influence and have them angles hitting them just right might flow on through. Generally, I like the Mercury retrogrades for finishing and fixing things. So whatever your creative babies are, for me, I just had a complete breakthrough. Thank you very much, my sister Nasa. She's on here somewhere. I saw her. I've got a whole bunch of new seeds that I'm thinking about and want to develop. So think about what you want to develop for the next 6 weeks as we get to the May Gate of Power, which is the midpoint between spring and summer solstice. So we get together every 6 weeks for these fire ceremonies. Honor the turn of the wheel. And one of the beautiful things about honoring the turn of the wheel is that you don't stagnate. Every season we go through covers an aspect of life we should be tending to on a regular basis, on an annual basis. So this is why following the seasons, no matter what the clocks and calendars are doing with this, Western culture stuff, do the light, the daylight and night light. Right now with equinox, of course, we have equal day and night. So this is the one of two times of the whole year that we have direct access to balance in our bodies. Do not deny yourself that calibration of, yes, twice a year I get to be balanced. It's just what it is. And we work these seasons for what they're good for. We don't push the river and demand our will. We want to honor the flow, honor the rhythm, honor the order that things happen in, because that's the other thing, whether it's the seasons or astrology, it's everything's a response to the last thing and preparation for the next thing. So here we are in a response to the sparks that came with the February Gate of Power. That's where we were looking for inspiration, but we were still behind closed doors incubating wintertime, right? So looking for that spark, looking for that fire to come back to life by spring. Here we are sparking. And now whatever seeds we come up with are probably going to show their promise by the May gate 6 weeks from now, even with the retrograde, right? And then the other thing we have to watch out for is those eclipses. Is Libra Aries eclipses are part of spring and fall this year, and it just is what it is. And so we want to honor the changes that want to come up for this new beginning, where you, the individual in particular, is the most important focus for initiation and new beginnings. You, the individual, your identity and purpose, what you want to be known for. That was some of my breakthrough, y'all, because yes, I'm known for astrology and the cycles. But I've been doing that weekly forecast so long that it's become kind of automatic pilot. And as much as I love that, there's lots of people out there doing forecasts. So I think I might be shifting my focus to specific cycles. Like, for example, April, what I think it's April 11th, whatever that Thursday is, we're doing the Power Circle. It's a free community call I do once a month, and we pick a focus. In April, the focus is Jupiter and Uranus getting together in Taurus, which hasn't happened since the 1940s. So it's a huge cycle. I want to talk more about those things where we can cultivate our own or create our own rituals and things around some of the sky patterns that are supporting our energetic evolutions on all levels, let's say, not just your energy, but on all levels, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional. So thinking about how you can take whatever you already do or that you're the expert at and expand it, or like I said, grow legs out of it where you can build bridges between you and other people. This is the Aries Libra eclipses too, because we're letting go of old relationships, partnerships, and collaborations that are no longer feasible, viable, nourishing, supportive. If they don't work, let them go. Deep breath. The thing about letting go of people is that it creates space for the new people to come in. So you have to trust spirit that it's going to bring, as your frequency shifts, the vibrational match of the people you attract is going to shift too. And you can't really control the other people. You can only control you and your vibration, your frequency. So as you evolve here and now, you're calling in this new level of sovereignty and independence, because there's a lot of Aries energy kicking all around, right? It's not just the sun moving there to kick off spring. It is Chiron, who's there only once in 50 years for healing, education, and soul work centered around Aries. That means you, the individual, your courage of conviction, your overcoming fear of new beginnings, your ability to initiate and take that first step, your identity. And then with Chiron, what we're healing with Aries is the right to be here and to have an identity and to have a perspective and to be able to stand on it, or like I like to say, stand in the truth of your own journey. We are learning now in the Aquarian age how the pros and cons, let's say, of being the individual within the context of the community. But that's what you're rebirthing. And post-COVID, we're redreaming all the boundaries and limits, right? They tried to squash us, but that didn't work. A lot of us got healthy during COVID. A lot of us took our power back. A lot of us quit jobs that were toxic. A lot of us quit people that were toxic. Bruh, it was a break to realign in the deepest sense. Now, in a social collective cycles way, the same exact alignments were up in 2001 when we had September 11th. So don't think they don't know what they're doing with the cycles too, y'all. So we have to do the energy work that we have to do to counterbalance all that drama, because it doesn't have to be that way. But the more responsible for yourself with Aries, I always talk about Aries because I have really strong Aries within me and a bunch of strong Aries friends that I love. And what I've learned is that if you want to be the boss or the leader or in charge and running things, that's fine. There are certain Aries that love to do that. And then there's other Aries that like to follow and let somebody else lead. And that works a little better for them. So it's just choosing what works for you. But don't choose to lead if you're not going to be responsible for that leadership. So be careful of what you agree to, especially over the next 6 weeks, because like I said, Mercury's retrograde. So you want to be able to check details and go deep within and look at what's really going on and use these eclipses. Think of terms of 10 and 20 year cycles. Okay. We're in 24. Think back to 2014, back to 2004. Think in 10-year block and consider what was going on with you, the individual, and your identity and purpose and what you were responsible for as that individual. And then who were you dealing with? How were your relationships going? Were they balanced and reciprocal and healthy in those years? Were they rebooting and resetting like a lot of us are now? We renegotiate, y'all, for real, renegotiate as you go. If you're going to work with Aries, it's every 2 years. Who you are and what you want evolves every 2 years and upgrades. And a lot of times, because we're humans and we get into these routines that keep us stagnant, we don't really change and upgrade with those every 2 years. Or let's say culture does look down on that. If you flip the script every 2 years, they call you wishy-washy. But the truth is, it's natural. And just imagine if you skip 2, 4, 6, 8 years gone by. Now, if you don't sit down and look in the mirror, you don't know who you are or what you want because you haven't had a minute to even address that. So that's another reason to work with these cycles too. And if we're going to work with Venus, because it's Mars rules Aries, Venus rules Libra. So we got Mars and Venus kicking all day too. And they just set a new cycle in motion together in Aquarius, which is back to sovereignty, independence, and freedom, What are your freedom needs? And then what are your togetherness community needs? We need to redress those as well, you know, redefine those terms as well. What feeds you? What supports you? What makes you feel happy and healthy? During this time, before I get into the specifics of energetic support, I did bring the chart, and that was pretty much the seasonal overview. But the chart is juicy because it's got the fixed signs on the four corners, Taurus, Scorpio, Leo, Aquarius. So we're either anchoring something permanently or releasing something permanently. And everything that we're thinking about, calling in, letting go of is rooted in self-love and self-worth. There are self-love that is you, the authentic self. Today, it is our Leo moon for the equinox chart, I should say. So shining that light and feeling safe to do it. Okay, our moon energy, we need to feel safe with that. And then Aquarius, the self-love and self-worth comes through offering your unique contribution. So you want to be able to do that and stand on it. So like I said, with astrology, there's a million astrologers, there's a million doing forecasts. So what makes me different? I think we're going to have to stick to the cycles and patterns. Then Taurus Scorpio gets a little more literal in terms of our self-worth and self-love. Taurus is your food, sex, and money, y'all, your creature comforts and your personal security, the actual level that you're living, your comfort zone, whatever that is. Now that needs to change and evolve too. And we just came out of the last 2 years of Taurus Scorpio eclipses, recalibrating our values and priorities, upgrading all of that, making us really, especially through COVID, because it all happened through COVID. So we got real clear on what the values were and what they were not, according to social collective as well. But for each of us, there's a sense of power that comes with Scorpio and a sense of creativity, or I like to think of it as the ability to really co-create your life with spirit, great spirit. With Taurus, I look at Taurus as Mother Earth, all the food and flowers and bounty and the physical amazing beauty. And Scorpio would be the breath of God that breathes life into that. We need them both. And they work on us with body and soul level is Taurus Scorpio. So again, like I said, it gets kind of literal. And we just had those upgrades. So with my thinking, we had an upgrade to the values and our, you know, our creature comforts and personal security needs and how that works. And with Taurus, you always want to build something with some longevity. And that's why having Jupiter and Uranus there cracking everybody open, we're moving to a higher level of honoring mama on some kind of deeper level on a collective level. Like everybody got to wake up and take better care of mama across the board. So that is getting called to folks' attention in a real way. That's once in 12 years, once in 84 years, you know, once in 100 years and bigger cycles than that are kicking to. So deep breath. Remember that everything's rooted in your self-love and self-worth and what you're anchoring and letting go of. Meantime, all that strong Aries energy, I talked about Chiron. Mercury doing a retrograde means we're rethinking this, rethinking the identity and purpose, rethinking what you want to be known for, rethinking who you want to be dealing with or, you know, who you want to be known for hanging out with. Birds of a feather, y'all, for real. Think about the life path cycle with Aries in the North Node. This is also the once in 10 and once in 20 year cycle that we need to look at the direction we're going and think back to 2003 to 5, let's say 03 to 05. That was 20 years ago. And think in 5 year increments. So if we said 05, 2010, 2015, 2020, what do you think happened with you, the individual, and your relationships and partnerships and collaborations? What happened during those years at home and work calibrations? What were you doing with that? And there's strong Pisces energy, Venus, Saturn, and Neptune, all in Pisces. This is deep because this is, again, micro to macro, individual, social, collective. So now the Pisces energy is showing up in the chart in the fourth house of home and sacred space in your sanctuary. Saturn's there once in 30 years, helping you anchor a spiritual practice that can really truly support and protect you and bring rewards and recognition and the good things when you are dedicated like Saturn wants you to be, right? Doing the step-by-step process, activating the foundations and the structures and organizing and getting organized in general, right? With Pisces, this means get organized with your spiritual practice, get organized with your spirit team, where you have a regular practice of speaking with them, listening to them, because they are going to be the ones that keep you on track when the crazy is happening in the world, right? The humans are unavailable for consultation. You have to go to your spirit team to confirm everything and make sure you're on the right track, or make sure that you're perceiving things the right way that is in your highest good, right? Oh, yeah. The wind is blowing out of the south to the north, y'all. So I'm thinking we should be really thinking about our creative babies and what we want to bring into form. That's one way to look at that. So the sky pattern is supporting you setting up your sanctuary over the next 6 weeks that can support you when you go to expand later in the summer and fall. When you get to the harvest, it's going to be a whole new ball game. So think about that too. It's spring to fall. This is our 6 months of productivity and building things. And then you have to know your own chart. You all know that's another one of my cycles things. The annual sun moves through your wheel in a certain way. But we want to renew that. We want to renew our values around what we believe to be true or possible. We want to renew our faith. And many of us on this call, I think, have North Node in Aries. So we're all rebooting a 20-year life path and direction. So even if you're just looking at your Aries department as kicking off a new 20-year cycle, that you'll get a 10-year midpoint to check in. But for the most part, it's a 20-year cycle of a new identity and purpose and direction altogether. So take advantage of the time with Pisces at the bottom here to restore yourself, replenish your energy. And if you have energy to develop your creative babies, then do that too, kind of behind closed doors, in secret, as it were. You know, we really don't want to talk about or share these new babies just yet. It would be just like when you have a new baby. I don't know about y'all, but I didn't want to see nobody for the first 6 months because I want the baby and the family to just bond. That's what you want to do with your creative babies too, as you're developing them, as you're giving them structure and form and figuring out where you're going to share them and all that good stuff. Pluto is leaning on that one Aquarius, and Mars is at the end of Aquarius, about to join Venus in Pisces. So that's another thing. Mars and Venus are neck and neck, Aquarius and then Pisces, and they start to separate when it gets to Aries time, because Mars stays in a sign for 2 months and Venus is only there for about 3 weeks. She keeps it moving. That's why we love her. And all the Taurus energy is split on our seventh house of relationships, partnerships, and collaborations, and in the sixth house of our daily rhythms and routines. So Jupiter is redreaming that for us, while Uranus is liberating us from people or obligations or commitments or contracts or things that are just null and void and don't apply to the new year. You are released, hereby released. Be free. And the moon in Leo is all up in the ninth house on this chart. So again, with our consciousness around your authentic self and being what I call that child of God, just being the little light that you are and being able to shine that light in a safe way that where people love you. Like, what was that line? I think I've told you all on another call. I want to be around people where I'm celebrated, not just merely tolerated, right? So deep breath. But for our purposes and for this 6 weeks, we're building something. You're building a new routine and rhythm that can feed and support you while you grow and expand in other ways. Like I said, there's an awakening going on in that seventh house, waking things up to, is this practical? Is this beautiful? Is this sustainable? Can we really do this together or apart, or how does it work? And then remember that too about Taurus Scorpio. Taurus represents the resources and things that you can generate and create and co-create with God. And Scorpio represents the resources that you end up having to share with other people. And that's why we say karma is involved with Scorpio. There's lots of karma around sex and money when you have strong Scorpio activated. And then some of us have generational planets there too. So then there's a whole swath of folks trying to work something out with Scorpio, which I do say is the hardest one out of the whole 12 to really master, because it is the energy of creation. And so we are creators, constantly creating something. So think about what you want to create this spring. And now we can really go to the energetic support. Like I said, the eclipse season and the lunar cycle that we're going to do is we're going to go through these Libra Aries eclipses first. The Libra full moon lunar eclipse on March 25th. What day is it? That's 5 days from now. And then April 8th is the Aries super new moon solar eclipse. So it's a super new moon. Now, when there's super moons, y'all, for those who may not know, most of the time you hear about the super full moon because that's the one everybody's looking at. But because I was in Florida for 15 years, I learned that the super new moons make the sunset look bigger. So go out and look at sunset right now because it's going to seem bigger and brighter and more amazing. Know that this number 3 and 4 of the 6 Libra Aries eclipses. So we only have 2 more to go after this. And I think it's 1 in the fall and 1 in the following spring, and we'll be done with Aries Libra. But April 23rd and May 7th, because this is before we'll get together again for the next fire ceremony, is supposed to be around May 4th-ish. But I'll have to look at the calendar and work that out. So the Taurus Scorpio lunation is going to follow these eclipses. Let's think about what that means. Now we go from rebirthing, not just annually, but 10 and 20 year cycles around you, the individual, within the context of your relationships and partnerships, to what are you creating? How is that money working? How is the artistic nature coming to life? How are the different aspects of creativity coming to life? Think about what you do every May with Taurus New Moon. We're always trying to bring in that beauty and that new stability and strength and fortitude. At the same time, we're still in the rhythm until Cancer Capricorn time, till summer solstice. We are in the rhythm of full moons first. So we have to do a clearing in Scorpio, which means releasing karma, clearing anything that you're holding on to over long. Anything toxic and non-essential that has run its course, person, place, or thing, doesn't matter. Let all that go. Do a real purification with water or fire. Think of it like you are purifying your soul because you're about to choose a new embodiment. And the body is going to be beautiful and amazing and strong and flexible and capable. And if you don't want to apply it to yourself, then apply it to your creative baby. So now you're breathing that breath of God into things that you want to be animated going forward, to come to life going forward, things like that. We're going to be cultivating with that Taurus new moon. Right now, we're planting those seeds. We're going to nurture them then, right? And we're going to break those bigger cycles that are going on. Mercury retrograde, for those who want the dates and the degrees, I got some numbers people here. I know what I wrote down is that it's there from March 9th to May 15th. It stays in Aries that whole time. The actual technical retrograde is April 1st at 27 Aries, goes direct on April 25th at 15 degrees Aries. But the whole thing is Aries. So what you want to think about here is that you're resetting your ideas, thoughts, and concepts in the Aries department. If you do that, then that means you have to integrate something in the Libra department across the way and balance out, because now you, the individual, is going in a new direction. So everyone around you has to change or go away. That's how that goes. And then you want to look at the Cancer Capricorn departments as having to grow and change and do something differently, because there's a new beginning in your Aries department. The Cancer Capricorn departments have to do something differently, let's say. So think about what that means. With Cancer Capricorn, it can be home and work, family and work things that we are always constantly balancing out and whatnot. But it can also mean your quality nutrient and the things that you need to take care of yourself. Like self-care comes up in Cancer, and Capricorn is the council of grandmothers, council of elders, wisdom type of thing. So this is another way for you to look at what needs to change. So again, with getting with your spiritual practices, making sure that you're checking in with your council, like we call the chart the sky council. The planets are our sky council. The ancestors are our council of elders and wisdom keepers. That's another Kellyism that I say a lot. I say that the ancestors are my board of directors at work, my confidants and cheerleaders when I'm creating something, and they hold me when I go to the underworld and come back reborn, right? So the ancestors are like everything. You want to consult them for different reasons and different ways at different times. But right now, we would be consulting them, asking about where the new beginnings have to happen. Where do I need to take the first step? Where do I need to just begin, right? Let's not overwhelm ourselves because Mercury is retrograde in Aries. And so I had some, it says C notes. Oh, I know why we need to pay attention to a little bit of Mercury retrograde for this energetic overview is because here's what's up. The bookends, March 10th, which just passed about 10 days ago, Mercury was in Aries, got with Pluto in Aquarius. Now, this was an opportunity to gain some traction with your own rebirth and transformation that's going on right now, right? So, this was for Pluto standards, it was a little easy. But on the back end, when we come out of the retrograde and Mercury goes into Taurus, Pluto's still going to be in Aquarius and that's going to be a square. So there's going to be a challenge when we come out of here to get practical and get literal and come out of idea mode and start to think about the steps that it's going to take. And to just know that you probably are going to have to change some rhythms and routines. And again, when you change, the people around you might buck a little, but they'll adapt and adjust. It's okay. They'll be all right. So just think about Pluto being the bookends of our Mercury retrograde. Something is definitely rebirthing and transforming as you navigate that. The other thing that's going to happen is every time Mercury retrogrades, it links up with the sun and starts a new 3-month cycle, essentially. So we want to call in that new self-expression, that again, what do you want to be known for going forward? Things like that. But it's also going to initiate on April 19th with Venus. This is a big one for your creative babies. So even if you're not ready to totally share everything, that might be a good prayer day on April 19th to just light a candle around your creative projects and talk to Venus, Mama Oshun, or the sacred feminine, however you see her, and ask for that guidance and support. That's all I wanted to say that was extra about the Mercury retrograde. The other thing happening, because Mars enters Pisces on March 22nd, 2 days from now, and will be there until April 30th, which basically means May 1st. So Mars in Pisces is special because Mars is the action planet, likes to stick and move, doesn't really like the flowing waters. But on another hand, it channels our energy into our Pisces department, which could probably use a little energy. And again, with it linking up with Saturn, where we can make things tangible with our practices and our spiritual teams and really know how committed we are. The other thing is, because the world is so crazy, I think the only way we're going to be able to get anything done is through magic and through our spirit team. And, I just can't even deal with the regular world to get the real things done.
So I don't know, y'all. You really got to be in good contact with your team.
So Mars and Pisces. Okay, so it's going to link up with Saturn. And what we got to think about here is that Saturn's only there once in 30 years. Mars is only there every two. So we might not get a chance to anchor who you are and what you want in this real tangible way again for a little while in your Pisces department. So for example, my home and sacred space is ruled by Pisces. And so we say when Saturn's moving through the fourth house, it's a good time to look for property. It's a good time to try to set up your physical space and your sanctuary. So, where's Pisces for you that is got Saturn anchoring things, bringing them into form, structuring, making them stable for the long-term success, the long-term rewards, or what have you? So, Mars is a big deal because the other thing in Pisces is we get to dream. You get to dream about who you are and what you want with Pisces and Mars there. And so, what is the dream for your identity and purpose? And then, how can Saturn help you make it real? And then, because they're in Pisces together, they're in a really good angle to Jupiter and Uranus in Taurus. Now, we're bringing our Pisces dream to our Taurus manifesting. Come on, y'all, we can do this. And with Jupiter expanding the vision, that's the other thing you hear Yay say all the time. We got to raise the vibe. We got to raise our frequency, raise our consciousness, cleanse that Ori. And then you go into calling the vision and what have you. Aida, when is that about Saturn? The actual date that Mars and Saturn link up is April 10th. That's the good prayer day for calling in a new vision, a new dream of reality for yourself and the social collective, if you like. But use Jupiter and Uranus to liberate and free you from old ways, old patterns, old cycles, old values and priorities. The values from 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 20 years ago, different than today. So, let's be here now and do the best we can to not live too far in the past or the future. And that could shift your reality too. Because now we're talking, what are you creating? What are you manifesting with your own steam, your own two hands kind of thing, with your own creativity, expanding that realm. And then knowing that Mars, because it's in Pisces, now this is a trip too, because it hits Saturn first to initiate a new reality around who you are and what you want. That's April 10th. At the end of the month, April 28th, it links up with Neptune. So now it says, see notes again, Mars. Oh, yeah, the special alignment. So this is one of those times during the year where I send you back to the energetic overview and the special alignments videos and things I put up on YouTube and on my podcast channel, because I did one for Mars, Jupiter, and Venus because they all have special stuff happening. Oh my God, this is what's up. So for Mars, Mars is kind of chilling. It goes through Capricorn. And then Aquarius is a big deal because it reset the cycle with Venus. It linked up with Pluto and Venus all at the same time. So we know we rebirthed and purified and distilled back to the essence of what is the value of masculine feminine dynamics and how they work and the balance that we need. And we can call in right now is wonderful. All of that was chilling. And now when it gets to Pisces, April is the busiest month. When I look at what Mars is up to, well, April, May pretty much just look really busy with Mars. And it's because of that Pisces energy that it's moving through for that time. While you're redreaming that reality and everything we just talked about, Mercury's setting off the new cycle in Aries. Jupiter and Uranus are linking up for once in 100 years. All this other stuff is happening simultaneously, y'all. So as not to be overwhelmed. Think about what the one thing you would like to think about or work on or develop over the next 6 weeks that you absolutely know already needs that Mars energy, but also wants to use the Mars and Pisces to dream and expand the vision on that, to use Saturn to make it real, to use Jupiter to expand the vision, and Uranus to liberate you from old ways or old confining limitations and things like that. Now that's Mars. Venus is moving through Aries. When she's in Aries, she really is initiating all new values around you, the individual. So, what do you really want and what do you really care about? And that's what this spring is rebirthing. You don't have to know today. My elders are saying we who have been in practice are being called to move into the elder roles. Right. So, I'm on that cusp between mother and crone, y'all, trying to figure it out. But thank you. Thank you. I know I'm not alone. Praise God. The other thing I want to just say overall, because there's a replay for the asteroids that I did a call on the ladies. So I'm not going to talk about them, but they're super busy for this 6 weeks. So I will link that in the post-call goodies as a reminder and make it easy for you to get to it. And just know that the sacred feminine is moving with this sacred masculine energy throughout. It's so deep. And our animal guide. So now we would switch from our energetic support to the animal guide, which is eagle for the month of April primarily. We're still in whale. I don't know if you can see it, but I have a glass whale next to my Olokun statue. It's so amazing. And it used to be my grandmother. Her totem was whale. And so she had like wood, glass, porcelain, 18 million different versions of whale. The whole family got like 5 or 10 of them. That's how many she had. So whale is March medicine, but we're moving into April and that'll be eagle. So we're moving into rising above our situation, expanding our personal perspective. We're housekeeping our independence. Like I said, how much independence and freedom do you need? And how much togetherness and community and intimacy do you need? We're composting imbalanced toxic relationships and we're seeding the new path and purpose. And then with those tools, I do have a Soul Sister Circle does the animal medicine. And when it comes to eagle, the prayers and affirmations will be around independence, initiation, and identity. The journal prompts are around self-preservation, your desires, and rejuvenation. And the Mad Libs are all about self-awareness, self-value, and self-knowledge. And I usually put the Mad Libs in with the spring equinox. So those tools will be in where the replay is. If you have to register to get to the replay, and there'll be some other PDFs that are really fun in there, along with the divinations and all the goodies that I'm going to share as well. So before I get into the divinations, because they were real juicy. Did I hear you say earlier Chiron is in Aries every 50 years? Yes. Everyone born from 67 to 77 has Chiron in Aries. And so it usually hits your chart around the ages 48 to 52. We call it the rainbow bridge because Chiron is the bridge between Saturn, the known and visible, and Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, the invisible external planets, the outer planets, right? So the way that I teach this is that Jupiter and Saturn are kind of a tag team. They work together. They rule your truth and purpose. And we work with those cycles on a regular basis because they coincide with social cycles. So we all kind of overlap and work those together. But again, it's these are planets we can see in the sky. And so certainly with shamanic astrology, there's always rituals and things to do there that you want to think about. But Chiron brings the healing, education, and soul work that 48 to 52, you know, that level of maturity usually calls in. And so we say that if you can get your truth and purpose together and you can get your healing, education, and soul work together, then you can get to the Uranus liberation and the Neptune connection to God and the Pluto ultimate transformation. But we have to do all these other things first because that's part of the human path and purpose that we all got to work out, right? So yes, everyone 48 to 52 goes through their Chiron return. And that's when you heal your ultimate wound, theoretically. That's when you put your pieces together and rebirth yourself your own way. With your own identity and purpose going forward. But Aries in particular, that crew has to just really be able to stand on their individuality and not hide their light under a bushel kind of thing, and to feel the right to do what you want to do. Because remember, Aries, Mars, all that's your desire, you know, doing what you want to do. So yeah, that return is about integration and taking all, basically with a healing that Chiron brings, is supported, and the education piece is all that you go on in the hunt, on the hunt for the cure, basically. And that's all that you learn by 50, you kind of have an idea. But I also say that 48 is a tunnel. It's kind of a dark tunnel because Jupiter, your 12-year truth and story reboots, and Venus, your values and priorities reboot at 48. So you've got all new values and you're believing all new things, and then you go right into the Chiron healing. So it's a little bit of a tunnel, 48 to 52, but everyone I've tracked that comes out of it in a positive way goes on to blossom by 55. So you have things to look forward to. Any other questions? Both fire signs. Anything for the Sag to know? Oh, yes, honey. Sag are the truth seekers and the truth sayers. And the, let's see, was there any Sag energy in that chart? Hold on, let me look. I don't think so. Oh, you know who's there is the ladies. I think Pallas is there. So again, we're rewiring what we believe to be true or possible, which is Sag's realm. I would just say to be using your filter questions for Sag is this relevant? Is this useful? Is this real or a perception? Is this a blind spot or a hidden potential? Sag wants to tell a story. What's your new story for the year that you're birthing at this time? We all can claim a new story. Happy spring, new story time. Yeah, Pallas and Sag in the first house. So we're definitely calling in the wisdom and the healing capacity of Sagittarius. That is what you believe to be true or possible, essentially. So,
yay.
And I do have a Sag rising. Oh, and the fire just popped big time, y'all. That means spirit is with us. Oh, my goodness.